Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hello and welcome to episode 95 of New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Hissen, and tonight with me I have Benny.
Hey.
And George.
Hey.
How are you doing tonight?
Good.
I'm doing well. I'm recording from the mobile studio.
From the mobile studio? Awesome. So, Benny, what did you do this week in guns?
This week in guns, I bought a strip lower from Kevin. Polymer and metal hybrid.
Oh, the Omni?
Yeah, the Omni strip lower.
Okay.
So, got that this week. I'm waiting for the registration and the switch to go through. And I looked at gun parts on Brown Owls because now I got to, you know, build it up eventually.
Yeah.
And I actually also bought a pair of baby bands for my son. So.
Oh, the baby-sized earmuffs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Did he not have earmuffs when we were at the charity shoot?
So, actually, those were a borrowed pair. There's actually a bunch of, like, organizations in Toronto where if you feel like you need something, or at least in the Jewish community, if you need something, they generally have this, like, I guess, I wouldn't say storehouse, but like people have in their home like a bunch of extra stuff. So if you need it, go there. So a lot of weddings here, at least in the Jewish community, they're very loud and people bring their babies. So this woman's like, well, they're not going to change the sound of the music and whatever. So she bought a pair and she lends them out to people. So I borrowed those for the range and I like them. So I bought my son a pair.
Awesome. Do you know what the, decibel rating is on those?
No. I don't. They have everything from fireworks to rock concerts listed on the package, so I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, but that if they're good for a rock concert, then they've got to be suitable for the range then.
Right, and like, personally, I didn't really want him, you know, that close to the shooting line, just because of lead and everything. Not that that's a real issue, but, you know, didn't want him getting too close.
Yeah, all the things that are vaporizing into the air when you shoot off the gun.
Yeah, so actually, when my wife was pregnant, we actually asked we went with a midwife, and we asked her, like, is there any issue with, you know, going to the range? And she said, noise-wise, definitely not. And if it's an outdoor range, then lead shouldn't be a problem either. We never actually ended up going, but that's what we were informed with. That's what we were told.
That's pretty awesome that your midwife knew that, because I know when Sarah went and asked her midwife, the midwife was just kind of taken back, like, you want to do what?
yeah
It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
So I pulled up baby bands. It's not the exact same one, but they seem to say noise reduction rating is 31 decibels, and then a single noise or SNR, if anyone knows what that means, is 26 decibels. So,
so that's pretty. Those are pretty good then.
Yeah.
Those.
This isn't the exact same model, but
close enough.
It should be close enough, right? Yeah.
Awesome. So, what kind of parts were you looking at on Brown Owls for your lower?
So I was just looking at everything from small parts kit to barrels. Everything in between. I think the biggest hang up for me in what to look for was bolt carriers and bolt carrier groups, because they don't seem to all be the same, or it's not really a lot to tell you what you're getting. So I sort of just, you know, pulled up all the bolt carriers and clicked highest rating and then went from there.
Okay.
But I have like five or six on my wish list, and they vary from, you know, $100 to $300.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only real difference I know in bolt carriers is I think what they're coated in. Like, I think the nickel boron ones are supposed to slide smoother, but don't quote me on that. And the only other thing I've heard of is the low mass bolt carrier groups that are supposed to recoil, I guess, a little less.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not versed well enough in the ARs to really know that much about them. What's this AR going to be for?
I'm not sure. I would love to say CQB, but it's probably just going to be something going to the range and just plinking with.
Okay.
I was thinking of, I always like to, you know, push the boundary. So I'm always thinking, oh, you know, one day I'm going to get out there and do some long range shooting. So, you know, the barrel that I actually did put on my wish list, I believe, is 18 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, what do you call it? Like the special purpose built, long range ones. In 223 or 5.56?
Yeah. Or, well, preferably 5.56. I believe that's more versatile.
Yeah.
Although I did hear recently that some of the long range precision guys who do use gas guns will use the 223 just because the tolerance, like I think it's the chamber or the barrel is a lot smaller, so it'll give you that little bit more accuracy over the long distances.
Yeah, I believe it's a chamber, and I believe it's because the 223 is slightly smaller than the 5.56. So the 223 will work in a 5.56, but not the other way around. And yeah, I guess if you're trying to, like, if you're trying to reload precision ammo, you'd want it to be as tight of tolerance as possible. So if you knew you were only ever going to shoot 223, then I could understand why you'd go with a 223 chambering instead of a 5.56.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Anything else?
Nope, that's it for me.
Huh? George, what'd you get up to this week?
I've been on the road all week, Kentucky, Mississippi, and back, and back to Kentucky, and I'm just on my way back to Kentucky. So, I didn't get any shooting in during the week, and last weekend, one day I had a migraine, and then the other day, I tried to fit everything that I was supposed to do on the weekend in one day. Fortunately, shooting was not on the left. Didn't make the cut, I guess.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad was more than nice to share all his range trip days with me and rub it in.
Well, that was nice of him. All right. Well, in the last week, I went and I shot an IDPA match last weekend. I did on the Saturday, and it poured rain. It was pouring so loud that, like, before the match even started, I was just chit-chatting with one of the other guys, and we actually had to stop talking because the rain coming down was so loud we couldn't hear each other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like monsoon rain, and I think the match was supposed to start at 9, so at a few minutes after, they actually pulled everyone in and said, like, we're going to take a vote. Do people want to shoot in the rain, or do we want to just go home, call it a day? There were a few people that just wanted to call it a day, and luckily we didn't end up doing that. We ended up saying, well, let's, you know, most of us drove over an hour to get out here. Why don't we wait half an hour, see what happens, and if it gets better, then we'll shoot. We'll take another vote, essentially, in half an hour. And, I mean, 20 minutes later, it started to clear up.
That's good.
Yeah. It still rained on and off all day, and, I mean, I was soaked to the bone by the time I left, but it wasn't that monsoon anymore, at least, and there was no lightning or anything like that, so it was good. I only made a few mistakes, mostly related to miscounting how many shots, because I was shooting the revolver, and unlike with the pistol, I used to, you know, I'd throw extra rounds just so that I'd have a reload at a slide lock a lot more often, but with the revolver, pretty much you count your shots, and I don't throw anything because I don't want to have to reload. It takes too long for me to reload with the revolver. So there was a couple times when I had miscounted a shot, and it's frustrating when you have to do a reload just for one shot, and with the revolver, it's not nearly as fast as with a semi. The lead bullet that I had, they were semi wad cutters. The guy gave them to me when I bought the gun off them, and I'm done with them. I'm not going to use them anymore. They kept hanging up on the cylinder when I was trying to push it in. There was, on the very last stage, it hung up so much that I just threw the whole speed loader away on the ground. In an IDPA, you're not supposed to throw ammunition away. It's because you never know if you need it, and I guess because it's supposed to be a real-life scenario. But the guy that was ROing me was another revolver shooter, and when I threw it away at the end, he said, yeah. He said, I saw how much you're struggling with that. I'd call that a malfunction and didn't give me any penalty for it, but that was frustrating. So I actually talked to a guy at the range, and he directed me towards someone locally who carries the Campro bullets. So I've put in an order for, I think, 2,000 of the 158 grain They're not round nose, conical nose, I think. So they'll go in a heck of a lot better than the semi wad cutters did. I spent a few hours with Sarah. Sarah had won training for a CQB course. She doesn't have an AR yet, so this was kind of our opportunity to jump into the AR world with Sarah. So I spent a few hours with her going through all the parts of an AR and kind of getting her to pick out what she wanted. It was a lot less about, I think, like what brand she wanted so much as what features did she want out of the gun. So a lot of things like how long of a barrel did she want, what kind of muzzle device did she want, like what she wanted to do, things like that. I convinced her that she should fork out the extra bit of money to get a ambidextrous lower because she is left eye dominant. So I figured she'd rather fork out the money now instead of later. So that was good. And we're slowly kind of going through and actually picking out the particular parts that she needs to order. That way, if they go on sale or when they come up back in stock, we can order them as soon as they come up. Speed loader finally came in, the Comp 3 speed loaders. So these are they have a longer handle on them, so they're supposed to be a lot easier and faster to do reloads with. If you remember a few weeks ago, I had ordered 4 of them and only one showed up. And so I ordered the 3 again. And luckily this time all 3 showed up. So that's good. I haven't had a chance yet to take them out to the range, but I think they'll do a lot better than the regular ones. They just feel like they have a lot more surface area to grab onto for doing the reloads with. I went online and I bought shot shell holders. And I was all excited. You know, I ordered them. They should get here before my 3-gun match tomorrow. And the next day at about, I think, 9 a.m., I get a phone call saying, oh, yeah, sorry. Someone else bought the last one half an hour before you put your order in. So, sorry, but you didn't get them.
That stinks.
Yeah, that stinks. So now I don't have shot shell holder. So I'm kind of thinking tomorrow I have like a dump pouch. And I'm thinking I'm just going to end up taking like a box of shotgun shells and just putting them in my dump pouch. And just as I need to reload, just reach into the dump pouch, grab some shells, and hopefully they come out the right way. So we'll see how that goes. But now that I have time again before the next 3-gun match, I have time to try and properly source a good shot shell holder. I think I'm going to go with I'm not sure what they call them, the ones where they're like 4 stacked up, like side by side.
Shell caddy?
Yeah, shell caddy. Yeah, so you just grab like 4 of them and then you feed them into the shotgun one at a time. So I just got to find somewhere that has those. But yeah, that's all I've done in the last week in guns. Guns in the news this week, we got no stories, so we can just mosey on right past that. Main topic this week is why we got into guns. Kind of a two-part question, really, that I thought of, and kind of why we got into guns, and also why we're still in guns, because a lot of things change as you grow up, as you discover all the different areas of the sport, so things change. So, Benny, why don't you tell us, why did you originally get into guns?
So, I've just always been, like, I guess any guy or kid, I don't know, I'm not a girl, so I wouldn't know, but like any boy, when I was little, I always, you know, fascinated with guns and, you know, the army and all that stuff. Sort of grew up a little. My parents were not into the whole toy guns thing. Coming from, they're South African, so like my father used to actually carry for belt for self-defense every day. So to them, toy guns were you don't play with guns because, you know, if you ever come across a real gun, you know, you don't want to be ended up accidentally shooting someone.
Okay.
They're always very anti-gun, anti-toy gun. Actually, it got to the point when I was just out of high school, and I was like, oh, I'm thinking about buying this BB gun. And my dad's like, at the time, I wasn't in the country. He's like, you know, don't buy a BB gun. When you come back, we'll go for our licenses, and we'll get a real gun. So like, they'd rather I had a real one than a toy one. So I treated them properly, and I didn't, you know, lose my respect for them.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point that you bring up there about, especially in a house that has real guns in it, making sure that you respect all guns and not treat them like toys.
Yeah, so when I was younger, it was always like, you know, when my brother got a Super Soaker, that was a big deal because, you know, we weren't allowed to have guns in the house. or toy guns, and pointing it at someone even was like, you know, a big deal. So
yeah, huh.
And then so I was always interested in them. And then I went to the Army, and that just, you know, that just dug it in. You know, okay, I like this. I'm semi good at it. So let's get into it.
Okay.
In terms of why I'm still in guns, something I really enjoy. I'm really good at it. I really would like to get a lot better at it. Because, you know, I'm not close as good as half the guys who are at the RJ course.
Yeah.
And I think I'm young enough still where I can't really say, you know, I've tried this, I've tried that, that I don't like it anymore. There's so much more that I can still, you know, I still have to try.
Yeah. Did they give you a lot of pistol training when you were in the military, or was it mostly rifle training?
The only time I ever saw a sidearm was when one of my commanders actually had his own personal sidearm with him. Otherwise, they never issued, we weren't issued as regular forces. We were not issued pistols.
Oh, okay.
Before I went to the Army, actually, I did do a one day, you know, new person to guns thing in Israel, and I got to shoot the Micro Tavor before even the regular forces had it. I think at the time only certain special units that have it had it, and they'd given it to the range to test it for them. So I shot that. Shot the M16 short, which is basically M16 with a shorter barrel. So I did it, actually hit the happy switch with 8 rounds in the magazine. That was pretty nice.
Awesome.
If I remember correctly, I think it was a Jericho. Otherwise, it was a Glock. It was so long ago, I don't remember. But that's the only other sidearm I ever fired.
Okay. And what handgun were you using at the RJ's course?
When I eventually did buy my own, I did buy a Jericho, a full size steel Jericho, in 9mm.
Okay. So why are you kind of still into it? Like, obviously you enjoy it for the fun.
I don't know. I guess it's something that I've become really passionate about. And like I said before, I don't really have enough time or experience in the hobby to say, you know what, this isn't, like, I've only been doing it for about a year and a half. If I don't like pistol shooting, right, I haven't been in the sport long enough to say, you know what, I can't do this anymore, because there's so many other disciplines to still try. Long range shooting, CQB, you know, all these other multitude of, don't even get me started on shotgun sports, because I don't own one, I've never shot one before, but, you know, like, there's so much out there still, and it's kept me interested.
That's good. So you've never tried any of the shotgun sports?
Nope. I've never shot a shotgun before.
Wow. That's too bad.
Yeah.
I say we got to get you out and shoot around a trap or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So George, why did you originally get into guns?
It started with a video game in 2000. I was playing online with an American, and they invited me down to shoot some real guns instead of pretend guns on the computer. And I just shot a huge assortment of guns. And then 10 years later, I started dating an American girl. And so I told her that she should buy herself a gun so we can go shooting when I came to visit. She did. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to get my license and start shooting at home. And that was the progression of why I got into shooting.
Okay.
The reason why I'm still shooting and why I continue to shoot is shortly after I got my license, my dad, when he grew up, when he was just a young kid, he had a .22, and, you know, small town Canada, farm community, everyone had .22s. You know, he tells me how he used to walk through downtown Stratford with a .22, and, you know, no one would bat an eye, and that sort of thing. So he kind of got into motorcycles, drifted away, and then once I got into guns, he thought he always enjoyed them. He thought he'd get back into them. And so that's one of the reasons why I say it's something that my father and I get to do together, bonding and, you know, kind of teasing each other. And, you know, every new gun he buys is a new gun for me eventually. I'd never get old. You know, I've tried getting my girls into it. They've kind of just, they're not anti-gun, but it's just right at this point, it's not really their thing. You know, growing up, everyone's heard my cowboy talk about how much I love cowboy. And grew up, you know, playing cowboys and Indians and, you know, spaghetti western, my blanket and my truck even had cowboys on it. Might say I'm stuck a little bit. So then once I found out I could dress up and shoot real guns and play cowboy for real, that just blew my mind. So other than that, you know, Wanda, she won that USCON at the charity shoot, so now she's starting to get the bug. Sorry, talking about getting a Ruger, she's looking at getting signed up for the Pal Force. So, you know, that'll be another reason. And I got to say, that USCON has just changed my world when it comes to shotgun. I love that gun. Well, once she gets her Pal and takes ownership, and I think I'll end up buying my own. Might look at getting into some shotgun sports with it. And I think Jason Phillips just kind of threw up in his mouth a little bit. Sorry, Jason. But that gun rocks.
Is that the first shotgun that you've used, besides like your side-by-side from Cowboy Action?
Yeah, I've got an old Steven, the bolt action. I shot trap with it a couple times. It was I bought it to go backpacking with because I had basically $200 and I wanted something to backpack with there. So that was the cheapest thing I could get. And then, yeah, the Stagecoach, the side-by-side. Yeah, there's a shotgun I've ever owned. So with the USCON, it's a pump, magazine-fed, and it's smooth. And it's the first shotgun I've ever shot where I've actually gone, you know what, I might actually think about getting into some of these shooting shotguns. And it's actually kind of got me reinvigorated on my AR build, which may or may not ever get finished, but I've gone from going, yeah, that's never going to get done, but yeah, maybe it will get done someday.
Yeah.
How far along are you, George?
I've got the lowers complete. Well, not really. I need to get a buffer tube, buffer and stop for the lower. And then I've got a stripped upper.
More than me.
It's been like that for, I'm going to say, almost 2 years now. I suspect 2 years from now, yours will look a lot different than what mine did.
Well, I don't know. I'm moving soon, and I have a new baby, so we'll see how long it takes.
Yeah, I suppose. Touché.
And besides, George, you're going to get that new shotgun. You're going to want to try three guns, so you're going to need to finish the AR.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? And that's where my mind is starting to go, is with that USCON, I want to run a three gun with it. So now I'm looking at getting a 9mm, and which I don't know when that's going to happen. That's just kind of now on the table of the wish list table.
And just use your 45.
Yeah, show up with my cowboy rig for a three gun.
Just turn that three gun into a four gun.
Yeah, I think I would lose on the times because they're a little slow on the reload. But you know.
Or you just have a lot of misses for all the shots you just didn't take.
Or you know what I could do is I could do like the Outlaw Josie Wales thing. And just have like five or six of them on my body.
Yeah, that would work. You're going to need a couple more cowboy holsters for all those.
Yeah. Although I suppose the money I would spend on buying three or four more single actions, I could just buy one set, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, at that point, you might as well just buy one AR.
Probably one AR, one 9, and like 1,000 rounds for each. And that'd probably cover about the four more single actions you're going to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of nutshell version of why I haven't guns and why I still consider being guns. Yeah. And what I'd like to do, like my dad, he, his first gun once he got his license was an SKS. I think I pulled this on the show before. 1952 SKS. And he got the 52 because that's the year he was born. And so he kind of wants to start the family tradition of passive, having guns passed down through the generations, right? So that's kind of another reason why I'm staying in it. I'd like to, you know, he's starting to get a pretty good collection. I've got a good collection. And, you know, it'd be nice to have a generational thing where, you know, two or three generations from now, oh, this was my great grandfather's gun. And, you know, he butt ended my grandfather with it.
I'm just thinking of
some sort of embellished story.
I'm just thinking of your great great grandchild being like, yeah, this is my, you know, my fifth great grandfather SKS. I don't know why he bought it. It was only $200 when he did.
Yeah, they may, by that time they may have they'll be like, that's like $20. No, yeah. They'll probably be really expensive because you know they'll all be kind of
collector's items.
Surplus will have run out. Yeah.
Yeah, collector's
That's
items.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah. You keep telling yourself that SKSs are going to be collector's items soon.
Oh, no, not soon, in about 4 or 5 generations. So, what's the generation? 40 years?
I don't know.
20, no.
So, in about 160 years, it'll be a collector's item.
Yeah, maybe save a spam can of ammo to go with it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, well, actually, shoot with it.
Now, did George have enough self-control to not take that spam can out, though, before he handed it down?
No. See, if you buy two every time, then you're bound to at least have one open.
Yeah.
It's funny. I talked to my mom the other day, and I said, yeah, I think Dad's due for another gun. She's like, no, your father has enough. And mother, you never have enough gun.
You should convince him to buy an AR.
You know what? He's very much like me. He likes the old stuff.
Oh, yeah?
He just bought that Mosin sniper, and we've just been pounding away with that thing. Every time we go to the range, we hardly bring anything else anymore.
Oh, wow.
Just I'll stop at Bullseye, pick up some ammo. My dad will bring some ammo. We just pound away. And the 7.62x54 is not a plinking round by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, have fun with it.
That round's like, what's that equivalent to? That's almost equivalent to like a 308 or something like that.
Yeah,
308, I think, is what I've heard it compared to.
Okay.
There is a NATO round that's 7.62, but by I think it's a different nomination.
Yeah.
Nine.
Yeah, the 308 NATO, yeah, it's different because it's a metric, not an imperial. So, George, when you were growing up, did your dad ever take you shooting?
No, he wasn't. He didn't have any guns at that point. He was when I don't know what age he got rid of his 22, but. By the time he kind of got to, like, 15, he got into motorcycles, and then it was always motorcycles after that.
Oh, okay.
So there were family guns that kind of got dispersed amongst the cousins, and he's kind of lost track, and some have kind of gone, oh, I wonder where it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Which kind of bumped my dad out, because his grandfather had a revolver that was originally my dad's, but he wasn't shooting. It got, you know, my grandmother's like, well, I wanted it in the house, so she gave it to one of the cousins, and of course now that cousin knows nothing about it.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but sometimes families get messy.
Yeah.
So my dad just said, screw it, I'll start my own collection and just start passing it out. And I'm like, I am okay with that.
Yeah, of course you are.
A new gun for him, the new gun for me eventually.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That's my slogan for my dad. Which I'm assuming you guys will probably end up doing, right? Now that, Benny's got his son and you and Sarah started a family, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not. I have a feeling by the time that we bite the dust, it's not going to be like, oh, here's your one treasured gun that your father had. It's going to be, here's safe number one.
Yeah. Yeah, in the will, it'll be divided. It won't be divided up by guns. It'll be divided up by safes.
Yeah.
Okay, child one will get safe one, child two will get safe two.
I feel like at that point, you're going to want to have to label all your guns to say what safe to go into. Otherwise, you're going to have someone, you know, jumping in there and start dealing with stuff.
Start switching them around.
Yeah. I don't want this AR. I want the Chris Vector.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get safe one, so I'll just go and shop all the guns out of the other safes that I want, shove them at safe one.
I hope that by the time that I pass away, that is my biggest concern, is that I need to keep track of which gun goes in which safe.
Mine have overflowed mine, so they're kind of piled up around the living room. So.
Yeah, we're kind of at our breaking point right now. We're looking at getting another safe, so.
I wish I was at that
point. Well, and with me, like, my kids don't live with me, right? So I'm a single guy. I live by myself. They're all trigger locked. The restrictors are case locked and trigger locked. So they're all stored safely and legally. It's just I haven't seen a need to get a bigger safe because everything's all locked up, right? So.
Well, yeah, just in the position that Sarah and I are in, we just kind of figure it's it's a good idea to get a safe, and that way we can fit everything inside the safes, and they're more secure, because we do realize that eventually at some point they're going to start getting nosy and start looking around whether we want them to or not, right? So
That's exactly why I originally bought mine. My ex-wife kind of kicked up a fuss, because I was the typical, you know, guns leaning in the corner of the trigger lock. She kind of freaked out a bit, and I'm like, go to the RCMP website. Here's how it's stored. I took a picture. I texted to her. I said, there you go. Go to the RCMP website. And she emailed me back and said, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the girls were young. It was a new thing around the house. So it was a legitimate argument. So I went out and bought the Dacon little metal cabinet thing, right?
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, my girls are older. My oldest doesn't really come around much, because she's got her own family now. And, you know, my younger two, they've grown up with it now. They don't even bother with it. So, and everything's trigger locked. So I don't worry about it now, but, you know, like for you guys, yeah, it's definitely relevant, because, you know, you got little ones coming up, either on the way or coming up the ranks, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I guess it's a very different perspective, when you get into guns, I want to say halfway through your kids growing up in your own house, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Once Lily and my granddaughter starts getting older and starts having sleepovers, well, then I'm right back in the same boat I was before, right? So then I got to reevaluate, got to figure out, okay, well, what am I going to do with all these guns? Because now I've got a little toddler running, right? So now I'm in the same boat I was before.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'm not there, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
My wife was like, I could tell the regs from, you know, sun up to sundown, she wasn't interested. She wanted three locks on everything. So, my first gun was the Ruger American Rimfire. So I actually had that trigger lock, cable lock, and then, the bolt, well, obviously the bolt was taken out and put in a different safe for just to, you know, keep it that much separate. And the ammunition was in a different room, in another box, locked up, kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. Has she grown accustomed?
Women can be kind of funny that way.
Yeah, she's grown accustomed to it, but she still maintains, like, my pistol is in a lock case in a safe with a trigger lock, and ammunition is locked in ammo cans now in a separate room. So
yeah. Oh yeah, I understand. With things like handguns, restricted firearms in general, you generally tend to like to take that extra step. Just, I don't know, the odds of the police ever coming to my house and searching and saying, well, even though how this is a safe, you didn't also trigger lock your handgun, we're going to charge you for it. Chances are slim, but I still like to just be prepared and know that I am covered forward and backward, so that if I ever did have to go to court over something like that, you can almost make the prosecutor look like a fool, being like, come on, seriously? Like, look how many times he locked this stuff up. He's clearly not doing anything nefarious with it.
Yeah, showing your intent to follow the rules, not just going according to the letter of the law, but like going beyond is very much, I feel, a lot of what a lot of gun owners are doing, just because, you know, there's no reason to waste your time with someone either not knowing the regs or
just not caring and wanting to forward their own agenda. Yeah. I'm looking at that Ruger American. That's a nice looking rifle.
Yeah.
How do you like it?
It's nice. Nice. After a couple of months with it, actually, so we were just using the iron sights, and I didn't really like the way it was shooting. It was shooting kind of weird. I got a scope, bought my dad a Father's Day present, got him a nice Bushnell 22 long rifle scope for it. And it's pretty nice. I haven't really pushed it past 50 yards, but it's pretty good. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, it looks like a real nice rifle. I like that it's MagFed and it uses the same magazines as the 10/22.
Yeah,
you got a lot of carryover there.
Yeah, I don't remember where I was, but I heard once that, like, you know, once you found a magazine that worked, there's really no reason to really change it. So when gun companies start using similar magazines, they'll just stick to that magazine, because there's no reason to, you know, design a whole new mag. Just stick with the old one. Right? If it works.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm just thinking, because I have a 1022, Sarah has a 1022, and we use them for Appleseed, and I was just thinking, that something like that Ruger American Rimfire, that would make a nice, like a nice squirrel gun or something like that out in the bushes, and the fact that it shares, looks like some of the parts with the 1022, kind of saves you from having to buy everything again, right?
Yeah, it's, I think they just changed the action, like, to put it blunt, to take away all the excess, they just took a 1022 and just change it into bolt action, and you know, all the furniture is pretty much, I think, is pretty much the same. I don't know about the stock. The stock is have to change a little, but
yeah,
pretty close.
Yeah, because it looks like the iron sights are in the same spot as on a 1022. Does the barrel get held on by a V block like the 1022? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't actually taken it apart or anything.
Okay. It just looks very similar to, like, a 1022, so I'm curious if it's, like, even almost the same barrel, too. Which would be nice, because for someone who's looking for, you know, a bolt-action 22, if it did take the same barrel as a 1022, that really increases their options for what they could get out there.
Yeah, then your aftermarket support is a lot higher.
Oh, yeah. All right, so...
How about yourself, Mike?
I got into firearms like Benny. I don't know, it's a boy thing. You're always into firearms and stuff like that. In my family, I grew up, there was my parents didn't really like toy guns at all. Like, I remember my dad even being mad when I got my first paintball gun. But unlike your family, mine was, they just didn't like guns in general. So I never really I didn't grow up around guns or anything like that. I would almost say that I got into guns almost by fluke, because Sarah wanted to get her license for job opportunities. Even after I got my license, it wasn't until about a year later that I actually bought my first gun, which probably seems, you know, crazy to most people. Most people probably are aching to get their license so that they can run down to the store and buy their first gun. I took a long time to get it. I got a 1022. And one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to get into firearms was for prepping. I wanted to get into, you know, self-preservation, into hunting, into all those kind of areas around becoming self-sufficient. And being a firearms owner just kind of fit into that as one of the ways you can take advantage of today's modern advancements and becoming more self-sufficient. After I bought my gun, though, I'm still into prepping, but... My why I'm still into guns is completely changed. Like, now I do competitive shooting. I don't do really any competitive shooting with rifles besides the 3-gun. Most of my competitive shooting is with handguns. But it's that, it's recreational shooting. I've actually enjoy a lot reloading. I quite often get up really early in the morning, way before Sarah gets up. So I spend a lot of time, like hours in the morning, reloading. It's just, to me, it's just such a nice way to spend the morning, just nice and quiet. You spend your time reloading, and not to mention, it means that you get to shoot, well, you shoot more for less, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to try and get into the long range shooting and like reloading for long range shooting. But I mean, do either of you listen to the Reloading podcast?
No, I'm not there yet. So I'm sort of just listening to stuff I don't yet understand.
Yeah. What about you, George?
Yeah, I listen to it from time to time.
Yeah. But I listen to them when they're talking about, you know, how they reload for accuracy at long range, and it goes over my head in like a matter of seconds, it feels like sometimes, with how much fine detail they take into reloading to that amount of precision. And kind of to go along with reloading, I love the gunsmithing. Because I love the mechanical way that firearms work and operate. And the idea of being able to get in there and tinker with things, whether it's, you know, changing a spring or polishing parts up or even just changing parts out, you know, kind of playing Lego with it. I find that really great. And kind of to go along with that, gunsmithing is all the learning that you do when it comes to, you know, how a firearm operates and how the intricate details of everything about it. The learning opportunities are endless.
I think that definitely ties in with the the prepper or self-sufficient aspect that you mentioned before.
Yeah, that's true.
Just being able to be self-sufficient. I mean, anywhere from fixing or modding your guns to ammunition, right? So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it really does all kind of tie back into each other. It's, I guess you could almost say the level of how far you want to go with your preparing, right? Do you want to reload your own ammunition, or are you okay with just buying it off the shelf, right?
Yeah.
And then from there, I've gone into hunting. Now, I am, as a Native American would call, a vegetarian, because I am one poor hunter. I have not gotten anything yet. I've gone deer hunting 2 seasons now. I saw a doe, but I didn't have a doe tag, so I didn't get that. But I haven't seen a buck. I've tried geese hunting, and I was kind of led to believe that geese hunting was easy, in the sense that, you know, you go out to the field, you pretty much you hide, and oh, the geese will just come to you, almost kind of thing. Yeah, that didn't happen at all for me. But I'm not giving up on it. I'm hoping to get out there and try deer hunting, and I'm hoping to try geese hunting again this year when I'm out visiting in-laws out in Manitoba. So,
do you have a spot, or are you just heading out and hoping to find game?
When I was hunting deer, I had a former coworker. He had a piece of land that he would hunt on, and it was just random piece of land that I think his brother had acquired that he was originally planning on building a house on, but never did. So it was just essentially an empty lot outside of the city.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think it was, I almost want to say groomed for deer to come around.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm still very much an amateur when it comes to hunting. So I don't know how well it was kind of prepared to try and attract the animals to come around during hunting season. But when it came to the geese hunting, it was pretty much my in-laws said, you know what property is ours, wherever you want to go, just let us know the day before. So I guess if someone showed up and like, there's someone wandering around in your field with a shotgun, they know, it's just the son-in-law, they can just ignore it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that hunting experience, I was kind of unlucky. Out of all the acres they have, the geese weren't landing on their property, but the geese were landing on the property right across from their house, which happened to not be their property.
Wow.
So, bit of an unfortunate situation, but hopefully this year I'll have a better chance, and I'm hoping to try again. Hopefully I'll get some more tips and tricks on how to do it properly this time. As I bought more firearms, I've realized that I have kind of moved into almost collecting firearms. Like, there are some things that, like, George, you were saying that, like, you and your dad, you're kind of into collecting the old guns. I'd almost call it the Milsurp, the cowboy guns, things like that.
Yep.
Yeah. But that doesn't really tickle my fancy so much as, to me, I see, like, unique SIG. There's a couple of firearms out there that just barely squeak by to make it into the restricted class instead of prohibited. And those are the kind of things that I almost want to collect, those kind of rare to Canada guns. And I was thinking about it, and I realized I really had no practical reason for some of them, but, I wanted them just almost as a collector value of them.
Yeah, I'm the same way, but like you said, I'm way out the other end of the spectrum. My dream gun is, I'd never get an original, but like a Colt Navy. If you're not familiar with those, listeners are. It's the Outlaw Josie Wales gun. We're going to use. That's like my dream to get one of those.
When you say you'll never get one, you mean because they're too expensive or because you don't actually want an original?
No, I don't even know if you could really get an original. I think they're like mid to early 1800s.
Do you want a cap and ball?
Like 200 years old. Yeah, essentially a cap and ball.
Oh, you wouldn't even go for like, I don't know if they make them, but like
I'll get a remake.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'll get a replica. That realistically, that's what I'll end up with. But that's my dream. It would be to get it'd be a remake, probably. To get like a Colt Navy.
That's a classic looking, gun.
We're a little opposite ends of the spectrum, you and me, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, but you understand the almost the drive. You look at a gun, you're like, man, this has no practical value, but I need one in my safe.
I've got a Merzle that the practical value to it would be you can holster it and go backpacking with it. It's non-restricted. But I've been backpacking in so many years that I don't have a holster. So really, there's no practical value to it other than it's an awesome range toy.
Oh, it is an awesome range toy. And if you're a fan of Firefly, then...
that's why it's named. It's the only gun I've ever named, and I name it Zone.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So, so do you have the leg holster for that, or...?
No, I never got around to getting one. The side pouch of my backpack, it fits perfectly in there. So I was kind of like, well, that's good enough. And kind of in hindsight, it's not, even for bear defense, it's not really practical. Because if you're out of season, you can't walk around with it loaded. So if a bear does start to charge, there's no way you're going to be able to load that thing fast enough to really be able to have it useful, right?
Yeah, those aren't exactly fast loading. I mean, I'm sure you can find videos of people who can do it a heck of a lot faster than I could, but yeah, those are cool, and they've interested me in the same way of the idea that they have that. I know it looks kind of funny, the holster for it, because you're holstering what is essentially a rifle, but...
Yep. Now, if it's bear season and you have a bear tag, then you can walk around with it loaded, but, you know, the whole point of it was for bear defense, so... Yeah. But you know what would really make a great bear defense gun and is very quickly loadable is a nice USCON 46.
Well, there you go. Now you have an excuse.
Imagine going back talking to the USCON. Ah, that would be hilarious.
You know what?
I'd have every Ranger.
It would actually, like, because like you said, they're mag-fed, I think that they would be practical just for that reason. Like, your magazines they're oversized, they're massive, so they'd be very cumbersome to be walking around with.
And I'd have to get one pin to three rounds, right? Otherwise, it's illegal.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, yeah, because it's a shotgun.
Yeah, it's a shotgun, and if you're out in the woods, I'm assuming, this has been an assumption on my part, but even if you're using it out of season for predator defense, I'm going to assume that the three-round limit is still going to apply, right?
So, from what I understand,
I don't know about that.
It's more of just to, you know, keep you out of the legal definition of maybe poaching or something. Is if, like, legally with a non-restricted, you can go target shooting in on Crown land, but if there's, like, you need to have, how do you prove that you're only target shooting or you're only carrying it for self-defense, right? So that's where getting a tag, getting a hunting license and a tag. When you take your non-restricted hiking with you, would come in.
Yeah.
But see, I was going out of season, right? So because I was out of season, I'd have to keep it unloaded. Otherwise, I'd have, exactly like you said, if you're hiking, you're not going to be able to make a case for, oh, well, I'm target shooting. Well, what are you target shooting? You're walking around the bush. So how do we know you're not poaching? You're walking around with a loaded firearm. How do we know you're not poaching? Right?
Or even if you are target shooting, like, you have a bunch of paper targets with you, who's to say that's really what you're doing, right? Like, I don't know.
I wonder if it boils down to, do you want to argue it out in court?
Yeah. I wonder if you can use dummies as like a, I guess as a to give you that three round limit. Cause, you know, like, cause I think, the Adler, is that the lever action shotgun, it comes with a bar inside that's not difficult to remove that makes it that three round limit, right? So maybe by putting in dummies, you'd have to ask someone, but maybe by putting dummies in your magazine, you'd be able to artificially restrict it to three rounds.
Well, the thing is with something, I don't know about the Adler specifically, but I know with my shotgun, it holds five shells, but for hunting, there's a little wood dowel that you put into the tube, and is it hard to take out? No, but if a conservation officer was coming, like walking up, even, you know, 100 yards away from me, it would be pretty obvious that I'm disassembling this gun and trying to cram this, you know, little wooden rod back inside there before he got up you know, up beside me.
Yeah.
So I don't think it, yeah. it doesn't need to be riveted, but I think it needs to be, I don't know, almost a pain in the butt to do. Something that can't be done in a matter of seconds, right? So that's where I question if the dummy round, you know, how easy would it be if you saw the conservation guy 100 yards away to quickly just, you know, unload your shotgun, throw a couple dummies in there first. With a mag-fed shotgun, I don't know if this would be count as good enough, but I'm curious if you take off your bottom plate and you actually put like a wooden, like just put a piece of dowel or something in there so that when you try to load the shells in, it will only allow the floor plate to go down so far before it hits the dowel. Like, if that would constitute blocking it.
And that wouldn't even affect, that shouldn't even affect the how the magazine functions, because you're not reloading your magazine, right, when you go hunting. So it should work perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If memory serves me correct, the way our instructor had said it in the course is, if a conservation officer comes up and asks to inspect, and they take three shells or four shells, and they can get that fourth shell in, then you've got a ticket. Yeah. So I don't think the dummy rounds would actually work, because by the time you emptied it, you'd be able, like, those dummy shells would still have that available space, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also a little point, you keep referring to putting three shells into your magazine. That, I think, wouldn't be correct. You'd only be able to put two in, because technically you have one in the chamber, two in the magazine.
Right.
So if you can fit three shells, then technically you have four, because you have one in the chamber.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, if you were like Trevor and you had something like what he has, that Versamax, where you can go slow to round, I don't know if that would count as another one. I don't know where the conservation officer would kind of draw the line on that, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, I don't know. Just food for thought. Anyways.
The fun thought experiment.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, one of the last reasons why I'm still really into firearms is date night. Now, that hadn't happened in a while since they're pregnant. But we went to the range pretty much religiously every Wednesday night. And sometimes we'd shoot rifles. Sometimes we'd shoot pistols. You know, sometimes Sarah would be practicing for cowboy and I'd be practicing for IDPA. But we always shot a couple rounds of trap at the end. And it was kind of a nice way for Sarah and I to have kind of our own thing, right? We didn't do it with anyone else because we don't really have friends that shoot. But, you know, it made it date night. It was the two of us hanging out for an hour shooting. And
yeah.
I get it. That's awesome.
I must say, after taking my wife shooting, she definitely opened up to the whole guns idea. So.
Yeah, and I think it's a great thing for, you know, a couple to have in common that they can go do together, to spend an hour together. That's almost like their thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wanda would always come to the range with me, but she'd always just sit and watch. She was very content. I might be able to get her to fire off a few rounds, but then she'd be like, okay, that's fun. I was like, but now that she's got that ooze con, she's like both feet in now. Last time we went to the range, threw a box of shell, and then I was like, well, you want to shoot the rifle? Because I brought my .22, and she said, yeah, absolutely. So I'd fire out five rounds, and she'd fire out five rounds. And it's the first time that she's ever actually fired like any significant amount of rounds. So
you should have heard
that charity shoot was great in many ways.
You should have heard her. Should have heard what she said after she won the holster. Because after that, she's like, I guess I got to get my license and get a gun for it. So, George, I think the only thing you need to do is buy her some gear.
Yeah, I guess that's all I needed to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's always enjoyed it. But now, but this last time we went, she was shooting just as much as I was. So, like, yeah, I now appreciate what you're saying. That's really is something, being able to do that with your girl.
Awesome. Does anyone else have anything... any other reasons why they may want to continue shooting, or maybe a good reason why they want to get into shooting?
Well, zombies. You never know when those buggers are going to show up.
Yeah, I might as well bring up the self-defense aspect. Not yet readily available in Canada, but you know, if it ever does, I feel like a lot of people would take that route to get into firearms. I believe they're finding a lot of increase in sales in the States, particularly because of that, or specifically because of that.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yep. Yeah, our laws aren't exactly conducive for getting a firearm for self-defense, but I could definitely see if, you know, the wind started blowing in a different direction, how that could become a very strong motivation for people to get into the shooting sports. Anyways, moving on to events. Benny, you want to take event number one?
Sure. On Saturday, July 16th, Latin Shooting Supplies will be hosting a fundraising shoot at Silverdale Gun Club for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. There will be guns to try with qualified instructors on hand. No firearm license required. If you wish to donate any products or volunteer your time to help out, please email them at gunrange4u@yahoo.ca.
All right, event number two, Barry Gun Club 4th Annual Ladies' Day is on Sunday, October 4th from 12 to 5. There's no experience necessary and no firearms license is required, as you'll be supervised by one of the safety instructors to help the ladies shoot a variety of firearms, including pistols, rifles, shotguns, cowboy action, skeet, and trap. There's a $20 registration fee. All proceeds are going to the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. Any donations will receive a tax-deductible receipt from the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. For registration or more information, please contact Susan Rattel at susan.rattel@barrygunclub.org, susan.rattelle@barrygunclub.org.
And the Aztec Armory Algonquin Cup 2016 Level 2 IDPA match at the Eagle Lake Gun Club in Sudridge, Ontario, will be on September 18th. For more information, please visit algonquincup.ca.
And last, we have the Regina Association of Practical Shooters, RAPS, is putting on a close quarters marksman CQM match on July 23rd at the Regina Wildlife Federation range. Please visit the RAPS Facebook page to sign up. Okay, listener email. We got a message this week on Facebook. This was in reply to our episode about holsters we had. I think that was a couple weeks ago. It came from Mark and Lynn. One additional retention system. Mounted shooting holsters typically use a sight lock that the front sight must be pulled past to remove the gun from the holster. The rounded front sights of the single-action revolvers lend themselves to this kind of retention system. George, have you happened to look at your cowboy guns and see if your holsters have anything like that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. But if you happen to have any feedback, questions, or comments, you can email us at host@newshootercanada.ca or our Facebook page, or you can go to the comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. We still haven't gotten any Stitcher reviews, so any of you out there who's using Stitcher, come on out and give us a, I assume it's 5-star review. But we did get an iTunes review. It's from RatFinnick306. It says, thanks. It's a 5-star. It says, thanks for all the hours of solid entertainment, tips, and info. Keep up the good work. Benny, how many Facebook likes do we got there?
As of 15th, we have 859.
Awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, moving on to closing comments. George, Benny, you have any closing comments?
Go ahead, Benny. You're the guy. People first.
Not really. I'm actually in my community. I'm starting to see more and more people getting their PAL. I actually lent my my books out recently to a friend of mine who's doing law school actually in Ottawa, but he's in town for the summer. He borrowed my book, so hopefully he'll get his course done. That's one more for our team.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's always good to help encourage new people to get out there and get their licenses.
Yeah.
George, did you have something for a closing comment?
No, nothing right off the top of my head.
Okay. All right, well, I want to bring up the poster contest. We talked about it last week. I've come up with a poster that we will have available on our website, and I'll link it from the show if you're checking it on the Facebook page. Pretty much what we're asking you to do is that you take a selfie with your poster up at your range, your favorite gun store, or wherever you want to post it up for others to find. You take that picture and you share it on our Facebook page, or you can email it to us at host@newshootercanada.ca, and you'll have a chance to win a New Shooter Canada hat. I'll have to post pictures of the hat that I got, and you'll be able to pick out the color you want. There's a couple of different colors. I think black, blue, and red. Any shout-outs from anyone?
Yeah, actually. Thomas, I have a shout-out for Thomas. He mentioned that I gave him a Tango Yankee chip, but he didn't say anything as to why I did it. And I want to give a shout-out to him because just being new to the shooting community and trying to get into it, I feel like he spent a lot of time and effort trying to get me into events and get me to events and arranging shoots that weren't on a Saturday, like for events like the RJ course. As soon as that was going on, he let me know so I can sign up and get in on that. So I just wanted to put it out there. That's you know, thank you, Thomas.
Awesome.
Just to add to that, something you may not know, Benny, and hopefully he doesn't get mad at me for sharing this, but behind the scenes, he was always a big advocate for trying to get things planned on a Thursday or a Friday, just so that he could be included in it. So behind the scenes, he was advocating big time for you as well. He's an amazing man.
Yeah, so I have to give out a shout out to him, and also I guess to my wife too, because she was very supportive in me getting to the charity shoot and making sure that I was well fed and everyone got enough sleep and everything. So one for her too. Okay, George, your turn.
That's awesome.
We had Wes on recently, and his wife actually started up a little YouTube channel called Life Neurotic. It's pretty humorous, so I would encourage everyone to go check her out. That was Corinne, who was in the Fachi shop. She's done started her own little YouTube ditty. So I encourage everyone to go check that out. That's Life Neurotic.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of the episodes. They're, I find them quite entertaining.
Yep, and they're pretty short, only like 2 or 3 minutes long. So it's not a huge time commitment. And she passed some witty humor in a short period of time. I've quite enjoyed them. Wanda's start watching them. She's enjoying them.
Yep.
Oh, and Thomas, you're so old.
Okay. Just had to get that in there, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I did. He'll text me when the show gets posted. He'll probably yell at me.
Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Sure he will.
We love you, Thomas.
Yeah, I just want to shout out to all the volunteers at the Eganville IDPA match for doing the setup and ROing, because it rained all day for them setting up and for them ROing, and they didn't exactly get the opportunity that the shooters did to run and hide undercover while people were shooting. They were soaked by the end of it, so want to give a big thanks to all of them. All right. Benny, you got a sign out here?
Yeah. I actually heard it from Sada Yuge, and it really, really spoke to me. It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes.
Awesome. George?
Till next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoke it.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Cheers. I really like 22 now.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns.